11 o'clock, D-Line of Joe Torti, 97.5, the Fanatic. Sixer stuff to get to as well, but we've been talking about the Eagles all night, as well we should, because, well, D, they've just been grabbing headlines recently due to their play, due to their press conferences, canceling practice today, having an aggressive or paced walkthrough.
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, of course. How could we forget? Jalen Ramsey. Big Earn tweets in. I know it's only two games into the year, but not hearing much concern about the division. Dallas is 2-0 with both wins in the division, and the Eagles just lost one of the two games that are different than the Cowboys. Plus, Dallas gets New Orleans in 2 weeks. Sans breeze. Any worry?
I told you. I said by the time they get to the Eagles, the Cowboys could come here undefeated.
Could be undefeated.
We did touch on it.
Yeah. And besides, I think they just look good. I think that they just look like a good team. Now, they might not be.
I know this morning on First Take, Stephen A. took Dak over Carson Wentz.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure to write that down in the in my power rankings of quarterbacks.
Just sharing.
Well, yes, of course, I know. I'm sure that was painful for him, too, because, you know, he has anti-Cowboy biases that he likes to still carry over from the old Skip versus Stephen A. days.
Exactly.
But,
something is wrong with you.
Yeah. Although I have to say, for the Dak haters out there, now is not the time. Like there's nothing to say
honestly,
right now.
Honestly, no.
you know, he might not be better than Wentz. Fine, but if you're hating on Dak and saying that he's
just
not
keep
good,
keep the conversation quiet.
Yeah, not now. No. Wait.
Wait a little later.
Bide your time. Yep. Chris in Williamstown's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Chris?
You know, D, Joe, last night I could have been called crazy, but I was a little inebriated, so I blame the alcohol for that one.
I usually do that, too. Good call.
You know what, though, but what Mike had to say today didn't make me feel any better. I'll get to that in a minute. You know, I don't know what to make of the Phillies at this point. I mean, yeah, you take two from the Braves, but at this point, it's so late in the season, it's so late in the run, that it almost doesn't matter that they pulled two out. Like, I don't see them going to the playoffs. I don't think they're a playoff team. And I'm already, I was out in July, D. I will be honest with you. After a series they had with Washington National, or the New York Mets, the Bamboo series, I was out before that, D. So no. Don't be surprised. This team is not as good as they were at the beginning of the season. And that's mainly because Kutch, and that's mainly because I was talking to my mom earlier while we were watching the game. Odubel Herrera, yes, he was a knucklehead off the field, but you know what? He gave you some pop on the field when you need it, and it's kind of a shame the way he messed up, because that with McCutch, it really just sent this team off the offensive, you know, cliff. So that's enough on that. So let's get to my Eagles thing, because I was a little off track. Like, but then I hear Mike, and he was talking about this walkthrough today and how they were just, you know, moseying it. Here's my thing, and Mike said it too. If you do not get these guys out there and get them in, you know, caught up to what the ones would be doing, if and in fact they do come out and have to play these guys, like, the only reason I would think that they're not that worried about it is because these injuries are, as I was saying last night, as severe as they seem to be. That I attribute to the fact that somebody was hitting to the heat being a reason. I could see a reason where they would have tight muscles and their muscles would be like sore on them and they could not go. But at the same time, Mike said it today where, you know, you question whether they're really taking this seriously enough. What, and by not practicing the second guys as ones that they may have to play, that, you know, that adds more credence to what I was kind of getting at last night, to where you watch Deshaun, you watch Alshon, you look at the looks on their face, you know they wanted to be out there. Why were they held back? That's my question. And I don't think we'll ever know the answer, because they won't give us the answer.
Well, the fact that Deshaun's going to be out probably for two more weeks with an abdominal injury would say that he couldn't, he may have wanted to be out there, but he physically would not have been able to perform.
So, okay, D, if he, you know, go down a rabbit hole with me. They come out this week and they actually do play both games. That, you know, then Deshaun, one out of two.
Deshaun's not playing. They've already said that.
Oh, well, I understand that, but, you know, haven't we heard things like that? Full transparency. So something Brian Colangelo said, and he probably got fired for as part of the other thing. No team wants to give full transparency, and I don't think we're even getting it from our Eagles. That is a concern of mine.
Chris,
well,
thanks,
man. That part could be true, but I think they give you less and less information, so... You know, I mean, sure, they day to day, there's a reason they do that.
Sure.
Because it has to keep you guessing. But as I think it was Zach Berman who pointed out on his Twitter account, day to day was Jalen Mills, and you haven't seen him since last November.
And Darren Sproles.
And Darren Sproles, and he missed 10 in a row. So the use of day to day, you know, is just like Chris said, not transparent, yeah. But I mean, I'm not sure you have to be. You're trying to, you know, play the game versus the rest of your opposition.
Well, you know, and I wonder if philosophically one day an intrepid reporter is going to say, but Doug, aren't we all really day to day? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Of course we are. Days, yeah. Months are just days strung together at this point, right? So are you about getting somebody back in a month or in a week?
Sure. Which is why you have to, there's the deadline for your who's injured for the week.
Right, yes.
You know, so that you have to be honest at one point.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah.
Later rather than sooner.
Correct.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter at DLineMCSN at Joe Torti. Now, the Eagles obviously have all of that going on injury-wise. What did you make of the other way that Doug Peterson handled things with Carson Wentz and the questions surrounding his injury status?
Why would you think he's hurt?
Speaking of no transparency.
Nothing's wrong with him.
Yeah, you know, I mean this as a compliment to Doug Peterson. I don't get the impression that he's a very good liar. Like, I don't get the impression that, like, guile is his big thing. I mean that as a compliment, because I think that if I was like, wow, you're a really good liar, like, there's a lot of things that go into that. But I just don't think that he's got it in him to be like, you know, Carson is totally a 100% fine and he's good to go. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're looking and he's not going to suit up for Detroit, for instance, which would be ridiculous.
No. That's not happening.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Deshaun Jackson?
But I would agree with... Yeah, I mean, I think...
Out. Alshon Jeffrey, probably
out. The
NFL
Network had that.
Yeah, saying, like that it was weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, usually when it's on there, that's coming from, you know, somebody in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, someone familiar with it. Or Deshaun. Somebody
or
in Deshaun's camp.
Yeah, that's totally true, too.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at it, it's not the best stretch when we're talking about just surviving the early portion of the season for all of this to be happening. When you've got two games in 9 days, and both of the games might be in question for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, but all I will say is, you know, we probably could... Well, you can look at the... Didn't you rattle off all the injuries that opened the door for you?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they are not the only organization dealing... What do you think the Saints feel like right now?
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know? So, I mean, there other people have to deal as well and had, you know, big plans for themselves. And, you know, now you got to see how do you just keep yourself afloat. In the Eagles situation, it's a little better because you think these guys are all getting healthier pretty soon. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I don't like that there's been little update on any of the other guys. You know, like I know the day-to-day is a thing, but like not hearing that we expect Dallas to be back anytime. Not hearing that Alshon's getting really close. We just want to see how he responds in practice. Like, not hearing that kind of stuff.
And also listening to seeing the comments of Arthega Whiteside after practice saying, you know, oh, he was telling me now, like, I would do this.
Right, yeah.
So he's telling him how to get prepared, which would suggest to me that Arthega Whiteside's going to be the guy.
And then the other problem, of course, D, that we point to, Carson Wentz talking about how to get those guys ready to go. Like, what do you mean, get those guys ready to go?
They should be ready.
Yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
That's exactly what we're dealing with right now. 610-632-0975. Wanted to pivot here with you for just a second and move into the Sixers news of, well, really it was yesterday, late last night. But
The JJ?
The Joel Embiid
Oh, losing 25 pounds?
Losing 25 pounds, allegedly.
Did we see a photo of it?
I have not.
No, nobody has. I need to see it.
So would he just say something like that?
No, I mean...
Probably. He probably would.
He could. I just said that all I'm going to say is the picture of him dribbling a soccer ball in Brazil not that long ago.
Uh-huh.
For me personally, thick on the lower body.
Okay.
Is how he looked to me.
Got it. Which is how he looks playing, usually.
If he's... I mean, I will tell you, I heard a number of the pounds that he lost, I mean, that he gained last year in that stretch when he missed the 14 games.
Okay.
Was unbelievable.
Like a ridiculous amount of weight to gain in 14 days?
I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
So I thought he looked the way he's looked, not smaller. Now, the other picture when he was in some exotic place... And it was just him with no shirt, but it was chest up.
Right. Still doesn't really get you anything.
So I don't see the whole body there.
Yes. Understood.
So until I see in person, which is coming right around the corner.
Right. You won't have to wait long.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be able to know right away.
Now, the other thing is that I've always seen, like running backs in particular, right? Anytime running backs drop 10 pounds or drop 15 pounds, they get way better. Period. That's just how it works.
Yes.
Is that always going to be the case for Embiid as well, considering that bully ball is a part of kind of what he does?
No, because bully ball is fine. He doesn't have to be, I'm not going to give you an exact number that he has to be. You know, would you like it under 270, you know, 268, 265?
Right.
Sure. I think that's plenty of bully ball
sure,
weight.
Sure, of course. He's playing against some 7 foot, 220 pound people, you know?
But, and the big thing, and I like what Charles said, one of the things, when you get to your number, then get in a pool to stay, you know, you're not doing the pounding, but you're staying in that shape still.
Yeah. Well, so. Plus, supposedly, you burn like 1.5 or 2 times the calories just existing in a pool.
Yeah,
that you do hanging out
outside. It's the best full body workout.
There you go.
Yeah.
I do think, though, regardless of what the actual number is or whether he's telling the truth about it or not, whatever, I actually think that that's all kind of irrelevant. But the ability to stay out there, which this is tied into.
Well, his conditioning is really what I would... Now, you would say, well, of course, his conditioning is tied into how heavy is he. Is he 300 pounds? He's not going to be the same as if he's running at 265. I get that. If he said he lost 25, I'd have to say, well, what were you when you started? Because I'm going to tell you, you were overweight.
Right, yeah, to begin with.
To
so
begin
are you
with,
back
so
where you should be?
Or slightly
be,
lower.
Yeah, lean
but
and mean.
I'm going to say, I bet you he's 275.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Now, he could play at that weight and be fine, mm-hmm. but you do wonder, on top of the conditioning, let's just say what it is, his feet, his back, his knees,
all
joints,
of it.
All
of it.
That's a lot of weight either way to be carrying
pounding.
On all
yep.
that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff. So especially if the Sixers are going to be counting on Embiid to be playing 75 games, 70 games this season.
I predict his minutes will be lower than they were last year.
You think so?
I do.
Horford?
Because he's a better backup.
Yeah.
Than what was available to them a year ago.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And their bench is overall probably stronger than it was at that position in particular.
Oh,
you have more bodies to throw at it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, because even if you don't consider going small ball.
Right.
You have Kyle also. O'Quinn.
Yep, Kyle O'Quinn.
Yep. Obviously, you have the Horford. And then, you know, you have options with small ball. I mean, even Mike Scott likes to play the five.
Mm-hmm. Sure. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. So all of that is on the table, of course. We do have wide open phone lines for you if you want to hop aboard. I have heard radio silence on Jalen Ramsey. I guess he's going to play in this game tomorrow because there haven't been
anything.
Nothing from any insiders. Hasn't been anything new. But, you know, everybody's putting out their fake breaking reports and things like that, but he is it appears that he's at least going to be in that uniform, at least through tomorrow's game.
Yeah, well, Doug Marrone, if he's in a uniform, he's playing.
Did you find Doug Marrone? Did you find the picture?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
You said he looked like Chip Kelly. I would agree. There are a couple pictures, no.
Right, yes.
But in the heat of coaching on the sideline, absolutely.
Yeah.
He looks as miserable as Chip always did.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not twins or anything like that, but I saw the press conference. I said, oh.
Totally. I see the similarity. I got exactly where you were going with that.
How does Mike tolerate this microphone? This thing keeps falling over if I breathe on it. Like, literally, it's just spinning freely. Like, what is happening?
A mind of its own.
It sure does have a mind of its own. I'm trying to figure out where the thing is that I would even... Oh, I found it. I found the fixy thing. Gotta fix the microphone. Oh, who needs tech support? Well, we're good.
Look at that.
Look at this. That. I do feel like I've gotten a lot more handy since becoming a homeowner.
Because everything costs money if you don't learn how to do it yourself.
Yeah, when you're a punk college kid, you're like, I pay somebody to do that garbage. There are professionals who do that, and now you're like, wow,
I gotta do
garbage
that.
Disposal is really expensive if I get somebody else to do
now,
this.
Now, the one thing, I won't go for electrical.
Okay, you won't do that?
No, I bring somebody in for
plumbing?
Electrical. Plumbing, I haven't done, but I actually, who am I kidding? My husband, we have her and he sinks.
Okay, yeah.
Mine's fine. He went to fix his about a year and a half ago, and all the stuff is still in the sink.
We're getting close, though. We're working on it year and a half later.
We're working on it.
Yeah. See, electrical is, it's gotten less scary for me because I don't know if I told you this or not. I moved into a house. We like the house. Every light switch in the house and every outlet in the house was black. Every single one. In the house, and the house is built.
So you had a well. I guess if you turn everything off when you start to fiddle with this stuff, I guess that would be the key.
That's what it is, and you know, you do one bit at a time, so you're never completing a circuit and all that kind of stuff. But man, like 35 switches and outlets later, I'm like, I'm not afraid of electricity. And then you get sent across the. You know, that's what I'm anticipating.
I got to share one. This isn't my household, but the other day, on my way to teach, and I have an 8 a.m. class, and I look down and I see that I can only go 19 miles on my car. I need gas.
Okay, got it.
And I'm saying to myself, wow, and then I remember my husband borrowed my car the night day before. Not a big deal, because I'm like, well, I'll just stop at the gas station.
Sure.
I do. And you know where you have the button in the car that pops the... The kind
the,
of
the gas?
Yeah, what do you call that thing?
Door?
The door.
Yeah, the gas door.
Right. Boom. Doesn't pop open. I get out. I get my key. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pop it open. You know.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to break my key. But
of course
I
not. Yeah.
Still can't get it open. Now I jam the key in and I say, okay, I'll put the key and now I'll go and pop it again. Flew my keys across the...
It launched them?
Launched my keys, but still didn't open the door.
Man.
So, I basically get back in my car, and now I say, oh my God. Now I can get to the college.
But you're thinking about later in the day.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
So, long and short of it, I had one of the students come with me, and while he put my key to prop it, he could pull as I was pushing. So... Two-person job,
okay,
basically.
Got it, yep.
Fill up. I say to myself, oh, okay, so I close. I'm like, of course, it was just stuck.
Uh-oh.
Nope, here I am today, coming here, got to stop for gas. I'm down to 30 miles, and sure enough, can't open the thing again.
That is weird.
So I asked a stranger for help.
Yeah?
Yeah, kind of like a lifeline.
Kind of like a lifeline. Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah, because I told him, I said, I'm going to stick my key, I'd show him. He looked at me like I was crazy. He also could have stolen my keys, I guess.
Yeah, been like, all right, well, thanks for this.
No, he was a very
see
good,
you later.
He was a very good Samaritan.
That's outside of my purview so far. I haven't worked on that particular thing.
I mean, but really, what do you do?
WD-40. That's the only thing that I would know. That's the only thing that I would think of.
No, I decided I'm going to put tape so that it can't catch it, but it can still close.
Okay. All right.
See, I mean, a little bit of that silver tape over the
I see. So it'll be in that that popped position,
correct,
but not the open position.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll report back the next
time. I got to tell you, we got so much to report back on. We got the gas door. We got Ticket Gate 2019, where it's Torty versus University City. We got a lot of stuff going on here.
How's that going? How many likes?
Nobody likes it because, I mean, it's disappointing to get it. But I'm telling you, the feedback that I'm getting is like almost all like, hey, man, if that's where that sign is, there's no prayer that you were supposed to see that sign. But we'll see. Now, the thing that does not give me hope is I got an automated email response.
Oh, from the when, because you had to do the appeal online.
I did the appeal online.
They said they received it.
Yeah. It's, I don't even know what this is. It just said, the subject line is to report a problem. And that's it. And it's from customer service at prwt.com, which I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. It's the office building that runs this stuff. We have received your complaint and will notify of findings within 21 calendar days. Please do not reply to this email. Like, yep, nah, this isn't happening.
That's the kiss of death.
This is not going to happen. I know. Yeah, exactly. That's, yes, exactly. That's the noise.
Was that like the, wah?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It also is not that far off of the other noise that I was referencing yesterday, the Charlie Murphy True Hollywood Story. Somebody asked me what my reaction was when Nelson Aguilar dropped the pass.
Oh.
And I said that the actual sound that I made, I've never made it watching a football game before, was the sound that Charlie Murphy made when he was describing, or that Dave Chappelle made, really, when Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories were talking about Prince, and when they were mocking Prince, you know, when he wanted to play basketball. And it zooms in on Chappelle's face, and he's like, like, that was, like, kind of the exact noise that I made as I was watching the Aguilar pass app. Because, like, Wentz throws it, and it's on target, I'm like, oh! Like, it was the weirdest, stupidest little, I don't know. But, yeah, that noise was not far off of that. So, I don't know why I keep just providing Rabick with more and more dropping. This is like a self-feeding, self-fulfilling cycle that I've created of
clearly
soundboard drops. This is
this
really
game
bad.
Is nuts!
Yeah, enough. Enough. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. D-Line of Joe Torty, the incorrigible Josh Rabick producing. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Lineham and Torty after dark. So far, it's been a, I would say at worst, a PG version of Lineham and Torty after dark, which is to say, I haven't been accosted by naked bike riders at any
right
point yet.
It's going to take me a while before I top that one.
Well, you've got 31 minutes. Okay. So, I mean, that's all right. You know, that's all the time you need. Let's go back to the phones with Mike in Cherry Hill on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Man, I'm blaming you, Torty. This is ridiculous. After that horrendous performance in Atlanta, I get on the ESPN. I get home from a hard day's work, labor in Cherry Hill, and I see these guys are walking through. How you gonna walk through to a Super Bowl? It's ridiculous. If guys are injured, you bring in new guys. This is tackle football, not touch. I blame you, Torty. What do you got to say for a walkthrough trying to get to a Super Bowl after that horrendous performance against the Falcons, a team that you've been beating for the last 2 years?
Well, truth be told, Mike, I thought to myself that they had a walkthrough each of the first two halves against Washington and against Atlanta. So I don't know why they need another walkthrough. It seems like that's what they've been doing in the first half of games anyway.
Guys missing blocks. Bad tackling, missing ball, receivers missing balls that hit in their hands. How is a walkthrough going to help that?
Not at all.
This is ridiculous. This is tackle football. This is Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to hey, listen, Torty.
Yeah.
You're on the clock with this, man.
It's my fault.
This is your fault. As I've always stated, anything that goes wrong in Philadelphia's sport, I'm blaming you. It started with the LeBron recruitment.
Yes.
And it's leading all the way up to this.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how the quarterback's going to stay healthy. I just don't know. This guy goes to, I know you saw this, Torty, because I know you watched the games. It's part of your job. The guy spikes the ball and almost injures himself.
That was the biggest spike I've ever seen.
I almost fell over.
Mike, thanks, man. Appreciate the call as always. Love hearing from Cherry Hill.
His teammates were actually kind of laughing about it. Like, he literally almost fell over.
I've never seen him celebrate a touchdown before like
that.
No,
they all admitted that was the first.
That was insane.
The most extreme.
Celebrations from injury are always like alternately funny and also tragic. You know, like where you see like Martin Gramatica tearing his knee up when he's celebrating kicking the field goal, or Vontae Davis tears his pec when he's celebrating an interception.
I mean, me personally, I don't know why more people just don't act like you've been there and who cares.
Well, so the thing that freaks me out, and I don't know how people don't get injured every time, is the walk-off home run where everybody meets you at home plate and you're like, I don't know how people don't get hurt in that all the time. I don't understand. But, yeah, that's true.
Or, like, if you go somehow into an end zone and they all pile up on you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Especially since we've seen, and offensive linemen are the first ones to tell you, you do not want to be at the bottom of those piles because no one can see what's going on.
Exactly.
In fact, there have been some... There have been some instances in recent history where people don't think that you can see what's going on and you really can. And it changes your opinion about some folks. It really does. To Mike's point, and I think it's your point as well, walkthrough doesn't help you all that much when you're talking about actually getting new pieces ready to go against Detroit.
If, in fact, you're trying to be sharp.
Right.
That's what we'll see.
How can you not be trying to be sharp, right? Like, you were so slow out of the gates against both of these teams. How could you not be trying to click on all cylinders? It doesn't add up.
I don't know. He being Doug is obviously holding out hope that his number ones are going to be available.
I don't like that you haven't heard anything. I don't like that you haven't heard anything about Alshon or Goddard. Goddard in particular.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Yeah. You should know something. You have to know by... What, it's Saturday morning, or is it Friday night that you have to...
I thought it was Friday night, but I could be wrong.
Your injured list. Yeah, I thought your injured list is Friday night, and then your... Well, I guess you have your inactives. You can declare them, like, Sunday morning. But, man, oh, man. I don't know. It does make you wonder, like, is this thing gonna fall apart early on where it's going to be... Is this season going to be, like, an Eagles game? Where the first half is something that is totally uneventful, and then you've got to really ramp it up in the last one, run off eight in a row.
Right.
Oh, man. 610-632-0975. I've got to admit, Z, I don't know if I'm ready for that kind of ride, if that's going to be the case.
Well, you know what it'll be? Because then people will complain, and then, you know, we'll give up.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden it'll start to trend upward.
Like when the Phillies go on this tear and they win 11 out of their last 12. Kind of like that, D?
It's not going to happen.
I see the look on D. Lynam's face right now. Saeed and Mount Laurel is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, guys?
Welcome.
I wanted to talk about the game on Sunday. You know, it sucks that Deshaun and Alshon aren't playing. But I think that I really want to see what, you know, Whiteside and Matt Collins can do. I mean, we spent, good draft picks on them, especially Whiteside. And, you know, I think he made a comment this week about, you know, how he hadn't practiced with Carson. And if he had the timing down that, you know, it's over, you know. And Matt Collins, you know, he, you know, besides that one bomb Carson threw to him in 2017, you know, in the Redskins game when he did the back, I haven't really seen nothing out of him. I knew he was hurt and everything, but I really want to see if those two can step up, you know, I'm really excited to see if that can happen, like, after a full week of practice, especially Whiteside in the end zone, man. Like, I've seen some highlights of him. I wondered why we didn't do a little bit more of that against the Falcons, just throw it up to him, because from what I've seen, he's really a great, like, in a rebounder, you know, a box out Alshon type.
Yep, that's so definitely his skill set.
And another point I wanted to make is that the reason why I'm excited is because, you know, players like Deshaun, I don't know, I mean, I know you guys probably remember, but Deshaun got his opportunity when Reggie Brown got hurt, I remember.
Mm.
And that's when he showed out, and he started his career off with a bang, I remember. And he had a couple of great games. I remember he had some good catches against the Rams. So I think that, you know, let's see if Whiteside can do that. Let's see if he can take advantage of, you know, of getting the opportunity like Deshaun did when Reggie Brown got hurt and, you know, do a good job and be that, you know, strong receiver for us moving forward.
Well, yeah, and Saeed, thanks for the phone call, man. Really appreciate it. He like Deshaun, a second-round pick. Second-round picks are going to be, you envision them being players for you
soon. And contributing for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, with wide receivers, it does tend to take some time, unless you're an A.J. Green or a Julio Jones or somebody at the very top of the draft that's like a can't-miss type individual. But even sometimes those guys don't work out. Kevin White can never stay healthy. You saw Mike Williams taking some time. Sammy Watkins had the best game of his life like 2 weeks ago. It does take time. With Arthego Whiteside, he is a guy who, best-case scenario, is now Sean Jeffrey clone, who has that huge catch radius and everything else. But he didn't look ready to go last week.
Absolutely not.
Does a week change that? I don't know. You take steps, but you're still a rookie in the NFL. I think Miles Sanders is going to be really good, too. He doesn't look good early on. It's going to be a process.
Yeah. And I think I heard somebody say he looks like he's still, thinks he's still in State College.
Yeah, he's playing like he's in Happy Valley.
Right.
That's absolutely
exactly
right.
And the philosophy, meaning it's totally different ball game at this level.
Yeah, especially the speed of the linebackers.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. The holes aren't there as long. And that's going to be something that if the Eagles are going to have a bell cow back, it seems like they're determined that it's going to be Miles Sanders. Like, they're not giving Jordan Howard the chance to be the first, second, third down guy.
Yeah.
They're having him be more of a bit piece in a rotation. They're only really giving Sanders the chance to be the number one back. Doesn't look like he's 100% ready yet at this point.
No, it doesn't. But I will tell you this. If it becomes a situation where now your record is in danger of ruining your
playoff, plans,
your end of the season plans, you might have to correct that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do something.
It doesn't, and by doing that, you're not saying you made a mistake. He's just not ready,
right,
for the limelight yet.
It would help if they, you know, had some tight ends in the game too. That'd be fun too.
Yeah,
just to see for everybody's sake, Howard, Sproles, and Sanders as well. Corey Clement's going to turn into the forgotten man in Philadelphia here very quickly, isn't he? I know that the injury is going to always be a question mark when it comes to him, but it just seems like there's not a whole lot of run for him.
Nope.
There's not a lot of work for him. No.
And if we go back to that caller who talked about 2017 and that Chargers game, he got 10 carries in that game.
Wow.
Yeah. And Smallwood got 10, and 16 went to LeGarrette.
Man, that's a lot of run for those guys. There's
in a Doug Peterson era, I would not have thought there was a 42-run game.
No. No, he was committed to it there. I don't know if you need to get to 40.
Meaning 42 carries.
No, I get it. Yeah, absolutely. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Coming up next, it is the final segment of the program. One more thing features something truly disturbing. I'm glad that we saved this until Lineham and Torty after dark. We'll take a walk around the show and figure out how we got here and maybe take a few more phone calls as well. We do have open phone lines right now. 610-632-0975. D. Lineham, Joe Torty, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
As you know, D-Lineham, the Philadelphia Eagles are favored by 6.5 points against the Detroit Lions.
That is correct, sir.
Oddshark, which is a website that I use for these computer simulations and stuff like that, has Philadelphia winning, covering the spread, and the total would go under. This projection that they have is the Eagles 29.4 to Detroit 11.4.
Whoa.
They have them beating up the Lions.
Wow.
According to this computer simulation. I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Not that. I didn't think it was going to be an 18-point
29-0.
Wow. So they think the defense gets after it.
I mean, 11 points. I mean, that's pretty considerable. For having a banged-up secondary and Stafford liking to throw it all over the lot and Kenny Golladay there and... Who else they have? Marvin Jones.
And,
is right.
Puzzling.
Now, early on.
Yes.
It's been a mixed bag for my friends at Oddshark, of course, because there's not a whole lot of information available yet. But in these simulations that they run, I've been checking this stuff out for the last year and a half or something like that. They've been pretty good. But I don't think I see that.
What'd they have for last week's game? Do you remember?
They had the Falcons winning by one, is what they had. So I think it was 20-19 or something like that.
Okay.
Close-ish. Yeah. I mean, they almost had it, but.
All right. Yeah. So, well, then let's ride the Oddsharks.
That's exactly right. I wanted to take a little bit of extra time because I am sure that you and Josh, you'll have thoughts on this as well. So let's steer it right now to the often imitated, never duplicated, world famous, the one, the only, one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
I saw this from Tech Insider today, D, and it was literally the stuff that nightmares are made of. It is a waist strap that you buckle around your waist and around your legs, and it has chair legs just dangling behind your legs. It is a wearable chair, and the theory is that you just kind of sit wherever you are, and if you have like a golf bag where the legs just shoot out if you lean it over, that's like the same kind of concept that's being executed here, except that it looks like you're bionic and that you have like either robot tails or legs or something like that going on. Is there a need for something like this?
All right, well, first of all, so I have the legs, I get it. But yeah. What am I sitting on?
Okay, so you're sitting on just your backside, and as you go to, like, sit down in a squat position, these legs contact the ground and support you.
So you're basically on some part of the leg and nothing else.
So it's pretty much that you've got, like, this strap that's like a cushion on your rear end.
Oh, so you do have that.
Yeah, and the legs are just coming out.
Okay, all right, all right. I missed that part.
It's not like it's just poking into you, but yes.
Okay. Is there a need for this? No.
I don't think so either.
And I'm just going to say, because I have the stand on my golf bag, occasionally you're kind of like kicking the... because it doesn't
pop out
all the way.
Yeah.
Right. Or, you know, you're on a hill and it falls over because you're not on the right line.
Right.
You know, you're not into the hill enough or whatever. So it falls over. I don't want to be falling over because I have to think about if I'm on level ground or not.
Well, the immediate thing that I thought of was that we're told that sitting is like the new smoking anyway, right? So people are talking about how we're supposed to be standing up at work and we're supposed to be...
Right, that's why they sell those desks for your computer now where you're tall and standing.
Now, the stupidest thing that happened in this tech demo from Tech Insider's Twitter account was somebody waiting for the bus. And they're sitting in the thing, waiting for the bus, and they stand up. And I guess you can fold the legs up if you want to, but a lot of people just leave them dangling down. And the guy just gets on the bus. I'm like, show me the next 10 seconds. What happens after the guy gets on the bus? Is he sitting on these stupid legs on the bus seat? Or is he sitting in the aisle being a nuisance to everybody else with his stupid robot bionic legs? I need to know. What happens in the next 5 seconds?
That's kind of like the picture of Joe's parking. Where is the kiosk?
Yes, that's it.
Where is this guy sitting on the bus once he gets on the bus?
I have a friend who that's probably one of his top three most favorite hobbies.
Is
just
what?
Sitting.
What?
Yeah, he's like one of those people that he's outgoing. He'll do things with you, but he's just always sitting.
Really? See, my dad has always been the guy where, like, if you offer him a chair, he will not accept it. Like, he'll be sitting on the floor or standing up. So I just don't know. Like, I understand how there could be people who have difficulty moving around, who aren't able to walk long distances if you have a medical condition or something like that.
If you go to a golf tournament, rather than carrying it around, you just have it attached to you. I'll sit at the 16th and see, I don't know.
It's a great idea.
See somebody come through.
And as long as this is Lineham and Torty After Dark, to kind of put a bow on this thing, I have questions about emergency bathroom situations when you're strapped in three places on top of everything else that you've got going on. I mean, that's a lot of Velcro in situations you got to deal with when time is a factor. I don't
catheter.
Know. Oh, jeez. That's the next thing. It's the catheter backpack to go with your
your chair
robot legs. That is absolutely nuts. I'm just like... And then I found myself thinking, didn't this come up in, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia and in The Office and, like, some other show where it's, like, a chair that you just take with? I don't know. I just thought I saw that today, and I saw that it was something that was going to revolutionize the way that we lounge. And I was like, I don't think so. I don't think anything's getting
revolutionized. I'm out. I can tell you that.
And, of course, I'm sure that this thing would be, like, $200. Like, of course.
I can spend my money better elsewhere.
Joe Dierte tweets in, the chair pants thing sounds like the first step towards the humans in WALL-E, which of course I've seen recently because of my children. But yes, you're on the effective intergalactic cruise ship and you don't move. You're in a lounge chair that takes you all over the ship. Yeah, this is the first step. Just sit down wherever you want to. Want to ask you this about South Philly Shark. And by the way, I don't know. I assume this is from Pro Football Focus. I don't know specifically, so I can't provide more detail on the tweet. This is just what it is. The great, quote-unquote, Jalen Ramsey. I think the quote should be the other way. Like, the great Jalen Ramsey. Because you're implying that he's not actually Jalen Ramsey. He is. Was 24th ranked as a cornerback last year.
And 89th. Through the first 2 weeks?
Yes.
If
his trajectory is going south and your team trajectory is going north, why is this a conversation? Well, clearly your team trajectory isn't really going north, first of all. The start of the season has not gone the way that you wanted. It's not like you're this ascendant team and you're trying to like go over the top.
No, that one was in response to Kansas City pulling their name out.
San Francisco, though, was the team that bailed.
Right. Well, this one was a response to somebody in Kansas City.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
But you're right. They didn't verbalize that they're out, but that was the response to that.
Okay. All right.
And that makes sense that they think that their team is tragic, like that you don't need it.
Sure. Of course.
But I will say, since I saw those numbers.
Yes.
I went and found D'Angelo Hall.
Okay.
Writes, I don't know how often, but this is written for the NFL Network, but on their website.
Okay.
And he has Ramsey as his second number two cornerback in the league. And one of the stats he put up was that Ramsey has allowed the third lowest completion percentage, 52.9, and the fourth lowest passer rating, 71.6, in coverage among 98 cornerbacks with at least 200 targets since 2016.
He's on a very short list. He's on a very short list. I like the kid in Minnesota, Xavier Rhodes, and I like Xavier Howard in Miami. But Ramsey's right there. He's on a very short list for me.
And the only reason I went to try to find something was because I saw the 24th and the 89, and I'm like, all right, then what's not lining up?
Right, here? I don't know what metric that actually is.
Yeah.
Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in, our co-hosts for the evening. Thank you very much, Josh Rabick. Outstanding job,
you
as per usual.
You got it, dude.
And Dee, this was a lot of fun.
Fun, Joe.
When are you on next?
The last time I couldn't remember, but yeah, I got it.
You're prepared this time.
Saturday.
Okay, on Saturday.
Yep.
You'll be getting betting picks, I assume, from Jimmy and Mount
Holly. I'm going to be ready for
you.
You're
ready to go. All right, awesome. For D-Line, I'm Joe Torti saying so long. Coming up next, it's the Fanatic at 5 after a 5-hour break. So sit tight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.